Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 33. Happy Tuesday. If you're on Twitter, I would love to connect with you. My Twitter handle is Tom Retscher. I'd also love to connect with you on Snapchat. Just search T Retscher. All right, guys, today I have on Jenny Ritchie again, the author of Keeping It Together When Life Throws You Curves. You can find her at jennyritchie.com. We had an awesome discussion yesterday talking about her life and all the ups and downs. And today we really dive deep into her responses to all those moments and how perspective in life is everything. Jenny shares some practical tips we can all implement into our lives, from visualizations to mantras to even a formula we should consider. Such a great conversation, and I'm just honored to have had her on the show. Here now is Jenny Ritchie. Jenny Ritchie, welcome back to The Positivity Effect.
Thank you, Dr. Tom. I'm so excited to be joining you again.
Absolutely. So let's dive right into it. We were talking about, at the end of yesterday's episode, about that you're a teacher, you're a math teacher, and you know, you're teaching, right now you're teaching junior high, and as a teacher, when you think of a teacher at junior high, it's you know, you have to have connection with the kids. You know, you have to spend time with them, and it's you're building these relationships with these kids. And I want you to talk a little bit about just the challenges that you had to overcome, because you had to constantly move and you had to kind of jump into, you know, new school districts and completely kind of redefine every time when you would be joined by a new group of kids.
Yes, it's definitely, teaching is a challenging occupation anyway. I know a lot of your listeners are in challenging occupations. Every job has its pros and cons and stresses. You're right, that building the rapport with these, I teach 12 and 13 year olds right now, and they're really going through some challenging times, and they need a lot of positive in their life, but they're not always very lovable. So it's a matter of loving them through the times they're not lovable. You know, and a lot of times, you know, they come to school and this might be the only time that they have a positive interaction with an adult, or, you know, so there is a lot of pressure as a teacher to try to show love to the kids and to be positive. Probably our most challenging situation with moving my teaching was, and I talk about this in my book, my husband, after he'd been retired, had this gnawing to get back into baseball. As you can imagine, he coached our high school team here in our town, and that was great. We got a call one day, and there was a Division I college about 4 hours away from where we live, and they needed a pitching coach at the last second. Their pitching coach had up and left, and the chance to coach at a Division I college was just amazing. So baseball started throwing us some more curves after all those years of traveling all around the country, and we think now we're stable. Well, we get another curve thrown, and so we picked up our family, and at that time we had, our daughter was a junior in high school. She was a volleyball player, a very successful volleyball player, a freshman son, and a third grade daughter. And we pick them up and we move them away from their town, their friends, their everything. And I was able to get a job in the middle of the year. So not only are we uprooting our entire family, but I'm coming into a school year halfway through it. And like you said, those relationships with those kids and having to pick it up on the fly was definitely very, very challenging. Professionally for me to be able to handle that, I was able to to do it. It was a great experience. What ended up happening with our family, though, was not quite as fortunate. The head coach lost his job after the first season we were there, and we knew it was a possibility. So we moved with the knowledge that it could just last one season, and that ended up being the case. So here we were, 4 hours away from our town. We told the kids, if it doesn't work out, we'll just head back. Well, we got to that point, we couldn't head back because I couldn't find a job back here. I'd given up my job. And so I was the only one with a job, and we're far away. And probably the toughest, one of the most emotional times I write about it in my book is, so my husband did not have a job. I'm teaching. We're living away from our friends and family and everybody. And we decided we better move out of our house. We don't know what's going to come. And so we moved this one day, and we stayed in a hotel that night, and I honestly did not know where we were going the next day.
Wow.
I honestly did not know. And it was easy to look back and think, where are we going to live the next day? Luckily, we still had our home in our town, and it was being rented out. So we honestly had nowhere to go. We put every bit of our things in storage, and we had nowhere to go. And it was a crazy moment. But like you said, with the faith, having the faith to get through the curves, I had gotten a message on my phone earlier that day, but had not checked it in the chaos. And it turned out that we had a neighbor, and they were out of town for the summer, and they invited us to stay in their home. And we moved in the next day, and we lived there for a week. And then we moved into another friend's for 2 weeks. And then by that time, we decided to stay in the area. We rented another home, and we were there for 9 months before we got the okay and moved back to our town and right back into the home that we left a year and a half before that.
Wow.
So it was really, I laugh, but it was really a trying experience, you know, and it was easy to look back on that and think, what were we thinking, you know? And that's why that was the impetus for the book, Keeping It Together When Life Throws You Curves, because we had all those curves from baseball, and then we thought life was stable, and here came another one. So, and I know your listeners, they have curves. You know, we all have challenges in our life, things that we have to go through.
Yes. And, you know, through that really difficult and trying time, as a teacher, you have a lot of experience because you're constantly connecting with children, and especially in the junior high, you're connecting with kids, like you said, at a very delicate time mm-hmm. in their life, and you're seeing all these issues and things that they're going through and struggling. And, you know, for you, for your family personally, what were those conversations like with the kids, and how did you, you know, through all that stress, how did you get through those things, those conversations?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking that. One, we definitely had some blessings come out of the challenges. And I really am a believer in that through our challenges, there's a lesson, there's opportunities for growth, something good out of many, many challenges, something good can be found.
Absolutely.
Now, after writing my book, I can't say that 100%, you know. Some people go through some very, very hard things, and it's hard to see the positives there. But most of us, the challenges that we go through, we learn, we grow, and part of what we received as in our challenge of moving was our family got a lot closer. And we were already a close family, but those of your listeners who have teenagers, they know they never see them. You know, they're always gone. And when we moved, they had no friends. They had nowhere to go. And so we really spent so much time as a family, even though Wally was traveling with the college team. We had a lot of time to spend together. And that's the first 6 months of really just having to, we were all we had. We were all we had. And that never would have been the case if we had stayed in our house. Mm-hmm. One of the other benefits was a perspective. And you talk about conversations before we left, our kids, you know, we were very comfortable in our neighborhood, neighborhood and jobs. And our kids would say, you know, our house isn't as big as so-and-so, or why don't we have a pool, or why don't these things? And when we had to leave our home and had the chance to return, you know, the conversations we had were, I would live in a box under the freeway. You know, honestly, their perspective and gratitude grew 1,000% because they had seen the other side. You know, they had to go away. They also learned that they can do hard things. You know, and we've talked about that, how that was not an easy thing that we did as a family.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, the gratitude, the closeness of our family, the change of perspective, just a lot of good things that came out of that, but definitely conversations.
And that's the message really in this whole little bit is that, you know, it could be easy to, you know, if you're the parent going through that situation to be hard on yourself, to say, you know, I'm putting my kids through this. This is really difficult for them. But what you did through that time is you just continually made sure that you were a parent, and you continually made sure that you were teaching lessons and leading, you know, by example. And we even think of small things, which really aren't that small, is like if we're sitting with our kids, you know, at the dinner table, we don't have our cell phones out, you know, because once we start doing that, especially even if they're a year old, they're going to remember that forever. And they're going to visually, that's, it's okay to do things like that. So it's like, for you, it sounds just from hearing that story is that you were continually led by example. And it, even though it was difficult, it brought the family closer because you made sure, all right, we're going to really make the most of this time that we do have together. And wow, actually, let me flip the script here. Even though it's difficult, we keep uprooting ourselves. Like, we have so much time together and we're blessed to really enjoy each other in this way. And that's a whole nother perspective, you know, somebody may not be seeing if they're going through that same situation right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, I'm to be honest, there were times when I went to my room and just cried and then I would come out and, you know, put one foot in front of the other. And I write about that in the book. You know, sometimes that's all we can do. Honestly, sometimes all we can do is put one foot in front of the other. And sometimes we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Right.
You know, we just don't know. But if we hold on to our faith and, you know, find some other people that we can grab onto, or people that have been through what we're going through, or, you know, there's a lot of tools we can use to just make sure that we keep on going.
I love that. That's so powerful. Jenny, when we had connected last, you know, you told me a little bit about how you are, you know, part of kind of who you are as a core being, you know, as a person, how you became, you know, you have such a strong mindset and you're positive is that you've been a student of Jack Canfield. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. And you told me, you share with me a story about this idea that Jack teaches, this cloak of positivity. It's very interesting. And I'd love for you to share that.
Yeah, I'd love to. In some of the conferences I've been with Jack Canfield, I've seen him demonstrate this, and it's so key. So if we all face negativity in our lives, whether it's coming from within, without, you know, our world, sometimes we're bombarded with all sorts of negativity. And so Jack would have us imagine standing in the middle of a fountain with water coming up all around us. And you can imagine a light above your head if you'd like, but just imagining this barrier almost of water. You can use a barrier of light, a barrier of something. And I know you've talked about meditation before on your show. Just imagining, even just closing your eyes and imagining some sort of barrier around you. So I've started putting on a positivity cloak each day. And what I mean by that is in the morning, sometimes I'm just driving in the car on my way to work, and I imagine myself putting my arms into this big cloak and wrapping it around me, bringing the hood over my head. And I have this barrier against any negativity that might come my way, and just focus on the feeling of love that I can have instead of that. And I can attest that I've seen changes in my life based on that, because when the negativity comes, I don't bring it in. Mm. I don't bring it in. I just deflect it. The cloak deflects it. And I don't get sucked into that mental the mental chore of processing the negativity. I just don't even let it in. So that I have really appreciated just that visualization. So maybe that will also help some of your listeners.
I love that, how it's a visualization, and it kind of ties back into what we were talking about yesterday, just the stories that we tell ourselves, you know, and mm-hmm. and that's, if you think of it, that's kind of a story in our mind that we're telling ourselves, and you build that story, and it's such powerful imagery, and think of, you know, if someone thinks of a difficult situation they're in, they're probably going to react to that situation differently if prior they had that imagery of this cloak of positivity. It's a powerful image, and you know, it's a powerful filter that before, you know, they're going to actually interact with the situation, with the thoughts, it's going through that filter of positivity.
Yeah, I agree. It all just really, I believe it boils down to a choice. You know, it's that Jack teaches the E plus R equals O, the event plus your reaction equals the outcome. Your response, event plus response equals the outcome. So we have 100% choice. We don't have 100% choice over the event, but we have 100% control and choice over our response.
Now, with that in mind, have you felt that it's really helped you with your teaching, you know, with the kids, that you're coming from this, that place, you know, mm-hmm. and you're starting your day different, you know, because I think as when we're growing up as kids and we see our teachers, we kind of look at our teachers as like superheroes, you know, like we think that they never go home. They, once we leave the building, they stay in the building 24 hours
right.
a day. Yeah. They don't have lives. Like the building owns them. That's like as a junior high kid, or even, you know, maybe not so much then, but definitely in elementary, you don't see uh-huh. your teacher as having their own life. And
yeah,
it's, I would say, you know, like when you come in as a teacher, I'm sure with this, what you've been doing, these changes, that it just helps you focus yourself so much more when you sit down and there is a lot of stress that's going to be hitting you that day from all the different struggles the kids are going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I know that a lot of people are bombarded in their profession by, you know, the demands of their work. I have students and parents and administration, and you know, everyone's coming with something. So it really has helped me to, I also have a little item. I have a little heart, and I don't know if that helps some of your listeners, but sometimes I'll pick up a rock outside and just put it in my pocket, just a gratitude rock. And every time I put my hand into my pocket, I will just, you know, I'll feel that. Or I have this little metal heart, and it just reminds me of love. You know, if I'm not feeling like loving during third period with so-and-so, you know, that I just make a conscious choice to make sure that I just put love in my heart and just put away any sort of frustration. Like you said, it's easy to be frustrated if we're tired or overwhelmed or stressed, or, you know, we're nervous about how we're going to accomplish this or that, that those are emotions can overwhelm us.
I love that. Yeah.
It's really important.
You know, and if someone heard that, you know, this idea of having something as simple as like a rock, and it's a gratitude rock. And every time you feel that rock, like it brings to the surface these feelings of gratitude, of positivity. And someone says, oh no, I could never see myself doing that. But I challenge that person that's thinking that to think about in their own life, some of these physical objects that they have that they hold on to in their life. Maybe it's a photo of a loved one, or, mm-hmm. you know, something that someone gave them that, you know, they're like, I've had this, I would never throw that out, but they don't know why, you know? And that's, mm-hmm. really, that's what it is we are attaching meaning to a physical object, and it could easily be done. It's something as simple, like you said, as a rock, and you're holding onto it in your pocket. And anytime you touch it, it's bringing these feelings of remembrance to it. And that, you know, and if it's not even, if someone can't bring themselves to do something that they don't have attachment to, maybe carrying around something that someone gave to you and it was a you know, an item a loved one gave to you, and maybe you forgot about it, and, you know, just start carrying it around again, and maybe keep it in the mirror of your car, and every time you see it, it just brings those good feelings to the surface, and you know, it just kind of brings you a reminder.
I like what you said of just try it.
Yeah. Yeah. You just,
you know,
have
maybe
to try
you think, oh, I don't know about that, but it never hurts to try.
Yeah.
If people want to make some changes in their life, you know, give it a shot and see if it doesn't work for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think of myself listening to a bunch of podcasts last summer, and you know, the initial thoughts in my mind, because I'm a human, was like, no, I could never do that. I don't have the bandwidth. I couldn't do it. I'm not talented or skilled enough. And then I just said, let me just try it. And now I continually do it on a regular basis, and I love it. And it's something that it brings a lot of meaningful energy into my life. And it's like you said, you just got to try. You just got to take that step. And I'm sure for you, you know, especially your story of all the challenges of definitely with moving around the country, that probably made taking risk easier for you, because you know, there was a lot of, like you said, a lot of, I don't know what's going to happen with this. And you know, those feelings, they really embolden you, and they make you stronger.
It's true. Everything we go through makes us stronger. And that was what I had to go through. We all have our thing.
We all have our cross to bear.
We all have our cross to bear. Is exactly. And really, we had, you know, so many blessings come from the challenges that we had. But you know, no one is free from challenges and things, you know, struggles in this life. I mean, you know, we all have them. But it's really keeping a focus on gratitude, on, you know, your purpose. Like you said, I have a mantra that I use, and I live each day joyfully in patience, love, and gratitude.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have it written up, and I say it to myself throughout the day, and just an audio reminder of, you know, I have a greater purpose than getting frustrated with kids at school.
That's right. And that actually leads me in, and before it leads me into my last question, Jenny, but before I even say that, I just want to say that this interview has really been a really special interview for me. I have enjoyed this conversation, and like the rapport that we have right now. Once we get off this call, I feel really good right now. And it's just kind of testament of the person that you are. And even though we're not having rapport physically, you know, in sitting in the same room, it's traveling through the mic. And I'm sure that the people that connect with you on a daily basis, you know, even if you don't say anything, they can just feel that presence that you have when they're in the room with you. So I just want to say thank you so much, you know, for coming on to the show and reaching out to me and taking a chance of being a guest on my show. It really means the world to me.
Well, Thomas, I can't thank you enough, first of all, for those amazing words. I'm sitting here smiling like a just really big smile. I just really appreciate that. And you are affecting people with all the messages that you have. I mean, people know they can come and listen to your show and feel better and be lifted. And I really applaud you for that.
Thank you so much, Jenny. So my last question is, And you know, you've answered it definitely in so many ways, but I just want to sum it up. If you were suddenly at the end of your life and you were reflecting on all that you've been through, the struggles, all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
I would want to be remembered for someone who affected others in a positive way, I think. Like the what you just said just strikes right to my heart, that you feel better after, you know, you feel positive after talking to me. Mm. And that's, I think, the key, what I'd like to be remembered for.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Definitely inspired by your message and your positivity. And thank you so much for sharing your personal stories. You know, I applaud you for that. And the more I do this, I've been getting to a place where it's been easier for me to share my own personal stories. And I know it's not always easy to share with the world your own story of life. And once you do, it's like, wow, people connect with it. And they learn from it. And it's really an interesting and powerful transformation once you start to do that. So thank you so much.
It's so true. You're so welcome. I've really enjoyed this time. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Jenny. And the audience, they're well aware, they just have to go over to positivityeffect.com and put in your name in the search bar and everything will come right up. So thank you so much.
Awesome.
You've been so generous with your time and your stories. I know you got to get back to your class. So thank you so much. It's been really wonderful to have you on.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying the Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of the Positivity Effect.